From today's Old Testament reading, God said to Abraham, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, footnote, to do exactly as God commanded. This passage is one of the most moving and touching accounts in all of Scripture. We are given no clues as to how Abraham reacted internally to God's command. All we see is Abraham faithfully obeying God. On the way to Moriah, he had plenty of time to perhaps bargain with God and surely to agonize as he brought Isaac to the place of sacrifice. A point easy to miss here. On the third day of the journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. After 3 days, he wasn't there yet. Maybe it took a week or more. This event was certainly the deepest and most painful test of faith in Abraham's long life. Imagine, though he loved his and Sarah's son dearly, this son whom they had been patiently waiting for their entire life, the son of promise, according to St. Paul, Abraham did not hesitate to obey the Lord. Wow. I can't imagine what I would do if God were to ask me to give Jerry back to him. What would your response be if you were told to do what God asked Abraham to do? Would it be a response of obedience or one of defiance? In the Sunday lectionary series, we have had the opportunity to reflect on Abraham for some weeks now. This is the fourth Sunday in a row when our Old Testament reading speaks of Abraham, the first patriarch of Judaism. Because of his obedience to God, Abraham came to be known as our father in faith, the prime example of faith, Abraham the righteous, and most impressive to me, most impressive of all, the friend of God. Now, Abraham certainly had moments of weakness in his life, like we all do. But when his supreme moment of truth came, he said a resounding yes to God. And that not once, but twice. For long before asking for Isaac to be given back to him to test his faith, God had commanded Abraham to leave his home and his family and everything he had without even knowing where God would lead him to. No wonder Abraham is referred to in Hebrews 11 as a foremost champion of the faith and is mentioned 230 times in the Bible. I remember the day when many years ago, when Jerry was a teen, and I was reflecting on the miracle of Isaac being born to Abraham and Sarah to become their heir, although they were extremely old. Diane and I were on the old side when Jerry showed up. It dawned on me that Abraham was well over 100 by the time the day came when God asked him the unthinkable, to return Isaac back to him. As I was pondering this, I mused a bit on what it must have felt like to be the parental unit of a teenager when you are at least 115 years old. I'm sure there were moments when Abraham probably thought to himself, Sarah and I are way too old to be bringing up a teenager. Abraham is a prime role model for all Christians because of his ready obedience to God under the most costly of circumstances. The point of today's first reading is that Abraham's love for and faith in God was greater even than his love for his own long-awaited son. And he trusted that even if he did have to sacrifice Isaac, that God would somehow provide. Abraham understood the great commandment of Judaism and Christianity. It was proclaimed this morning. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. In seminary, we're trained to look for Jesus everywhere in the scripture, including the Old Testament, and he's certainly here. Abraham was a prototype of Jesus in his obedience to God. For Jesus said, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. What I want to drive home this morning is that obedience to God is the most critical decision in any person's life. Jesus left no doubt about this when he said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. For we know that Jesus became obedient unto death. Pastor Charles Stanley is one of my personal heroes of the faith. His 65 years of preaching from God's word include hundreds of what he calls life principles, or instructions on how to live the Christian life. These he derived directly from Scripture. And they clearly underline the importance of a life of obedience to God, not only for Abraham, but for each of us as we strive to live out the Christian faith. As some of you know, Charles Stanley is in heaven, or as the Baptists like to say, gone to be with the Lord. And in the mail, Diane and I received a week or two ago this booklet commemorating his life and his ministry. It has his photo on it, his name, and the theme of this booklet is celebrating a life of obedience. I learned a great deal from Charles Stanley, and I want to share with you a number of important of his teachings with you on this subject. Quote, obedience is the bottom line in the life of a Christian, and partial obedience is actually disobedience. Total obedience begins with a commitment to honor God above all else. After that commitment is made, temptations and challenges cannot control us. We grow in knowing God and His will for us through reading the Bible and by submitting to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. But we can expect Satan to offer many temptations to divert us and to weaken our commitment. As you know, it takes a great deal of courage to obey God in the big and in the small things. God tells us to obey His commandments, all of them, not merely the ones we like or understand or that make us comfortable. They are, Moses was given the tablets, and they have been known as the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. Incomplete obedience, Stanley says, is arrogant obedience, which the Bible says is evil in the sight of the Lord. So far, I have been talking about the responsibility we have to obey God in all things. But the other side of obedience is that there is a happy and exhilarating consequence through obedience. For obedience produces endless blessings. True obedience produces endless blessings. Stanley writes, when you choose to obey God, you will never be disappointed. What a claim. He will always bless you because obedience always leads to blessing. So be encouraged if you are in a situation in which you don't understand why God is asking you to do a certain thing. God will reward our obedience with a sense of peace and joy that compares to nothing this world has to offer if we obey Him. Therefore, he writes, set a goal to obey the Lord no matter what, and watch Him work wonders in your life. You will always receive God's greatest blessings, and your obedience will always benefit others. He boils it down to this. A Christian is responsible for trusting and obeying God out of love and devotion, and to live a godly life to the end. This, he says, is life at its best. Now, obviously, the importance of obedience is taught in many places in Scripture. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he writes, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now, with all this praise of Abraham, let's recognize again that Abraham didn't always get it right. But when he did and obeyed God, God blessed him abundantly. God had promised to bless Abraham's obedience, and God did. And God will bless our obedience. Somewhere in my study, I came across this point to ponder from a secular sort of point of view. Just as any disobedient patient misses out on the full benefits of medical health care, so the disobedient Christian misses out on the full measure of God's blessing in their life, which is to say, true fulfillment in life is found only through total obedience to Jesus. So, there was a time in my life when I figured, 90% ain't that bad. I'll just give God 90% of what he wants and I'll keep the next 10 to myself. It has to be all or nothing. And again, that's the great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Obviously, obedience always requires sacrifice. It will always require sacrificing our need to have everything our own way. And isn't that how we're all born? We all want we're control freaks, and we always want everything our own way. That instead of having everything God's way, or, as I like to say, letting God have his way with us. You know you're there when what God's will for you coincides with your will for your life, and when what God wants for you is what you want for yourself. That's a gem. You know you're there when what God's will for you coincides with your will for your life, and when what God wants for you is what you want for yourself. And along those lines, the good news is that obedience gets easier. For as we fall in love with Jesus more and more, our hearts change. And we find that we want to keep his commandments. A full measure of blessing from God comes only to those who give a full measure of obedience to God. Oh, yeah. As I'm reflecting, and I've been reflecting on this passage for a long time from Genesis 22. Abraham's story is our story too. For I am confident that God will ask you, if he hasn't already, like he has asked me over the years, to surrender whatever I have let become of prime importance in my life. That's God's way of showing us what rivals to God there are in our lives. And God admits in the Old Testament that he is a jealous God. He wants all of us, not 90%, not 80, whatever. He wants all of us. And so he will ask you, maybe not to sacrifice your child, but to sacrifice this habit, this weakness, that aspect of your life that is not pleasing to God. He will ask you for that. Obedience is the only good solution. Are you, am I, willing to give up everything to God? Another commentator wrote, God wants us to believe in him and his promises and to act on that faith. If belief in God did not include acting on our faith to show that we believe, what good is that? In other words, talk is cheap. We can, sound really pious and devoted, but our actions prove. Actions speak louder than words. So, sum up. And this came through to me in our study, essential study on 1 and 2 Samuel, which I had never studied before. There are 66 books in the Bible, so it might take a while to get to all of them. But it was so beneficial to learn about the role models that Scripture presents us, especially in the Old Testament. And it is full of examples of people to, like Abraham in his faith and his obedience to God, people to emulate, and also plenty of examples of people to not follow their example. They were a bad example. There are plenty of good examples in the Bible and plenty of bad examples too. The Bible is full of stories of people who put their own will above God's. And in every single case, it did not end well. Knowing this, that decisions have consequences, good decisions produce good consequences, and bad decisions, bad choices, produce bad consequences. So which way will I decide when something becomes a matter of either obedience to God's will or to my will? Again, in the case of Abraham, he didn't always get obedience right. And when he didn't obey, his life became a mess. When he did obey, as he was called to do, he was blessed. So there we are. Same choice that Abraham had. To obey God or not. To be blessed or to make life a mess for ourselves and for others. The choice is up to us. And in a few minutes, as we proceed in our liturgy of the Eucharist, we will say together the Lord's Prayer. And how many times has every single one of us here said, because it's right there in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as in heaven." We can rattle those words off, but do we say them with an attitude that thy will be done, not only universally, but right here in me, even when I don't feel like obeying, even when I don't see the point? One of my two favorite collects in the Book of Common Prayer is the collect for the fourth Sunday of Advent. To me, it's a gem. And it reads, "Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son, Jesus Christ, at his coming, will find in us a mansion prepared for himself." The foundation of that mansion, the cornerstone of that mansion, is our obedience. Jesus wants to live in our hearts and to abide in us 24/7, but he will be perfectly comfortable there only if it's a place where obedience is what shapes every daily action and decision, however small. Abraham trusted in God. We are called to trust in God with our whole heart. Or, as a familiar hymn that we've all heard and perhaps sung, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey."